No pun intended. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the anointing on Andrew. That's about to bring us this word. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon you. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, and fear of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for our leaders in this church that show us the way through you, Lord. So we ask you, Lord, to guide them. Your sheep are listening. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Marty. As I came in this morning, I don't know what you're supposed to do as a pastor of a church. It's true, isn't it? Well, some people say to me, do you know what you're doing? I said, no, but it's never stopped me before. I guess you're supposed to come to church with your cup full so you can share it. I don't know. But I felt like I come this morning with my cup not full. And then as the worship was happening, I thought my worship was great this morning. Great song choices, great leadership, Sandy. Great authenticity in that. Thank you. Because it's in the authentic place that we connect with God and each other. Did you hear me? If there's any inauthenticity in your life, you will not experience connection. So I challenge you to lay down inauthenticity and pick up authenticity. And you'll find home. You'll find home. My mind was drawn to Psalm 23. And at the end of Psalm 23, it says, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. And I felt almost by the end of worship, my cup was overflowing. Hey? I feel a weight about this sermon. I don't feel a weight about every sermon. Although I believe, you know, when you preach in and out, week in, week out, I always feel a weight about the word because I feel like God always has something to say if we're listening. But I feel a real weight about this message for our church. So can we stay settled until I'm finished? Unless you need to go to the toilet, please stay in your seat. And just stay settled. Give the word the respect the word deserves. Okay? And also probably around when we have the appeal time and the final song, stay until church is finished. I've even talked to the kitchen people about they can stay. We can wait for morning tea, can't we? Okay. I think it's dishonouring to God if we leave before the final song's finished. So let's just honour God. You know, honour God and he'll honour you. Okay. I actually learnt something this week. I felt that I'd grieved the Holy Spirit. I looked up, my devotions led me to do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And I was studying that word grieve, and I've been sensitive and tried to learn around that for years because I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. He's my helper. I don't want to offend him. And one of the words for grieve can be distress. Yeah, we can cause distress to God by our behavior. Isn't that interesting? It wounds his heart. And you know what, if you want a deep connection with God, be sensitive to what God wants. And you'll find a connection, a deep connection. You'll find a power. Okay? All right, let's get on with it. A report found in 2019, this is an American one, because they do heaps more research than Australians do. We go, oh, yeah, might do some research, might not. But Americans seem to get into it. Before the pandemic, three in five Americans reported being lonely. After the pandemic, this number increased. We're not surprised, are we? This is a bit concerning, particularly among young people. Disconnection. Our world can be a lonely place, and reports say that connection with others can help our physical and emotional health. We'd agree with that, wouldn't we? Can help our physical and emotional health and our lifespan. Isn't that interesting? If we're connected with others, we live longer. Wow. From a Christian worldview, there's no surprise from these studies of our world. For it was God himself who first said it's not good for man to live alone. I think he meant mankind, man and woman. And it was Jesus who said the two greatest commandments, he summed up the whole Ten Commandments in two. He said, love God, love people. Or we could say, connect with God and connect with people. I find it fascinating in recovery terms, they say, don't isolate. Isn't that great wisdom? You know what? Whether you're in recovery or not, don't isolate. Because we're made for connection. Recently, we invited those who lead ministries in our church to revisit our vision statement and see if it needed some fine tuning. Because we had this vision statement for years and it just didn't seem to resonate, didn't seem to do what a vision statement should do. Now, a vision statement is really, why do we exist? Why does Longevity, why are we here? Because there's a good Baptist church around the corner. There's a great church happening up at the Clam. Why do we even bother being here? What is our purpose? And friends, if I've learned anything, we need a purpose. We need a purpose, okay? I don't want to do anything without purpose anymore. My life's getting too short. Sales must end. That's good timing, wasn't it? And so we revisit our vision statement and thought, does this articulate why we exist? Why has God placed Longevity here? I don't believe in consequences. Coincidences, thank you. Help me out whenever I drop a word. It's interesting. We need to be able to picture it. If we have a vision statement, it's actually a vision. It's a statement that actually articulates a vision. So we should be able to picture it. We should be able to tell real life stories to explain it. And it should stir our passion and want us to get on board with what God's doing. And what we did was we got an outside coach in just so we could all be objective. We had a couple of meetings over a period of a couple of months and weeks. And then, you know, we spent time waiting on God and praying and worshiping to see what come to the surface. Because the vision's in you. You just got to get it out to articulate it, right? And my notes are even upside down. Many times in the 14 years I've been here, not always as a pastor, I've heard people say when they come to Longevity, they felt like they came home. Really interesting. And I feel at home here. That's why I could come here this morning with my cup half full, even though I'm the pastor. Because it's safe. I feel safe. I feel connected. I feel loved. I had at least two or three people come into my office this morning and ask me how I was going. How good's that? I feel loved and close to God here. Therefore, I want others to experience what I'm experiencing. So like I said, after much discussion, worship and prayer, we believe this phrase is why Longevity exists. It's on your handouts there. It's no surprise to you already if you've read it. But we believe Longevity, we are about bringing my community home. That's what we are about. And you'll see the leader's already on board with this, which gives me encouragement. This morning I wanted to explain what we mean by this phrase and then see if it does what a vision statement should do. So I'm not worried about whether this will work or not because I'm already seeing it working. And if it's God's vision for Longevity, what it will do, you'll get excited about it. It'll energize you. It'll motivate you. It will unify us, if that makes sense. So when we say bringing my community home, first point this morning, there's just three. Bringing is about leading people to relationship with Jesus. Our great example, and we had it last week actually, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon. The first thing, how good's that? Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When Andrew met Jesus, he wanted his brother Simon Peter to meet Jesus too. You'll note this, if you have a look in, do a Google search of Andrew in the Bible, you'll find that each time Andrew is mentioned in the Gospel of John, he is bringing someone to Jesus. How good is that? That's what he does. He brings people to Jesus. And through the centuries, this is how most people come to faith in Jesus Christ. You know, in my 20 years of ministry, we've experienced that too. You can send flyers out. You can spend a lot of money on advertising. You know how most people come to find Jesus? Someone brings them. Someone invites them. That's how people usually find Jesus. That's why we don't waste a lot of money on advertising in this church. because it doesn't work. People bring others to Jesus. A Peter has an Andrew who introduces him to Jesus. This is natural because it's the nature of Christian experience that those who experience Jesus desire to share that experience with others. See, if we found connection with Jesus and with his people, we know how life-giving this is. Wouldn't you want to share that? You don't have to convince me about the love of Jesus, friends. I live it. I live it. I got really unhinged on Monday. Do you ever get unhinged? I get unhinged more often than I'd like to. And I found that when I get unhinged, I need to ring my people, right? I was running out of people on Monday. And it's just different stuff, right? Triggering me, I get unhinged. I rang a guy called Howard. He's always good at grounding me, so I'm grounded a bit better. And then I was a bit unhinged about my health, and so I tried to avoid harassing my mum these days, but I rang my mum. Isn't that interesting? I went home. And on reflection, mum didn't talk to me very long, and I was grounded again. Isn't that interesting? Then later that night, I got unhinged again, and I thought, man, I'm just running out of people. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me that verse out of, I think it's Psalm 142. It says, deep calls unto deep, and I just decided to go deep. And I just went to a deep, safe place in Jesus. Isn't it great that the Holy Spirit can ground us? Hey, the Holy Spirit, I'll get onto that in a minute, but the Holy Spirit can be our home. He can be our safe place. And when we've run out of people, not that I'd run out of people, but, you know, I was in a situation where I couldn't reach for the phone right then. I just went deep on the inside and found the comfort of the comforter, Jesus calls him. So bringing people to Jesus, I've always had this desire. Since I gave my life to Jesus at 9, I wanted to bring people to Jesus. But it's really difficult when you're a quiet, shy person that I was as a kid, and your brother spoke for you until you're about 4, I was told. And so I really wanted to, you know, I heard these stories of people become junior soldiers like Braden last week, and they'd get a badge and they'd wear it to school and tell their friends, and I went, oh, I'm never doing that. That freaks me out. I don't think I ever invited, I grew up 18 years in a church called Nambour Salvation Army. I don't think I ever invited anyone to church. I was too scared. Then I went to a church called North Brisbane Salvation Army, and there was so much exciting stuff happening there, and I was getting older and bolder, and I finally started inviting people to church, one or two. And then I went to a church called East Lake Salvation Army at Belmont, and I saw people so loved and so engaged and find Jesus so often, I couldn't help but invite people to church. Sometimes from the pub. I'd go and do the pub thing, you know, and I'd say, come to this church, seriously. Seriously, something will happen. You know what, I felt the same about Long Jetty. Because I know that when people come here, something will happen. Because there's a Holy Spirit atmosphere, okay? And people feel like they've come home. You know what that is? People cry sometimes when they show up at church and they're sitting in the back row. Why is that? That's the Holy Spirit saying, welcome home. You're finally safe. There's some connection and love and security that I have for you. That's why we get our emotions stirred. Don't be like my friend Bernie, who thought he was going crazy. My friend Bernie left Victoria with a six-pack in his Valiant and ran out of money on the Gold Coast, ended up in the Salvation Army homeless shelter. And the chaplain pestered him until he showed up at chapel, sitting up the back. And when they gave the appeal to come forward and give his life to Jesus, he started weeping. Ran out. Didn't give his life to Jesus that night. Ran out up the street, thinking he was losing his mind. He's actually finding connection with his own soul. That's why the Bible calls us lost before we find Jesus. Because we don't even know who we are. As we find him, we discover ourselves. That's why I want to bring people to Long Jetty. More than ever before, our world needs to be brought to Jesus. Many people out there feel unloved, alone. They have little understanding of the love God has to offer them. Offers them love and connection. If we have this understanding and experience, if we, like Andrew, have really met Jesus, then we are the best ones to bring others to him. Okay, but who are the others? Second point, When we say bringing my community home, my community are the people God's placed in my life. We really wrestled with this, right? Because often church-wise, we think geographically only. But we thought more demographically. Who are the people God has put in your life and they're not there by accident? A bit like Simon said about his brother. You know what? God works all things together for good. What if through Glenys's illness, Simon's brother comes to know Jesus and his eternal security is secured? How cool would that be? John 4:35 says, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. This verse is found in John chapter 4 of the story of the woman at the well, a woman who we understand to feel unloved and alone. Interesting. And as unlikely recipient of a Jesus encounter. Because she was a Samaritan. Those days are the Jews. And even if you study Jesus' life, he was initially called to the lost sheep of Israel, which were the Jewish people. Isn't that interesting? So this woman was, in a sense, outside his ministry. He could have said, well, he could have kept good boundary and said, no, sorry, lady, you'll have to wait till Paul ministers to the Gentiles. But he didn't, right? He saw the opportunity. He saw his community. He saw this lady. This phrase, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. This was a saying of the day with the idea that there's no particular hurry for a task. Because things simply take time and you can't avoid the waiting. Sounds fair, doesn't it? Jesus did not want his disciples to have this mentality. Did you hear that? Jesus didn't want his disciples to have this waiting mentality. He wanted them to think and act as if the harvest was ready now. The idea of harvest meant that there are many people ready to be received into the kingdom of God and that the disciples should see themselves as workers in the harvest. As Jesus was saying these words, interesting if you picture it, right? Because Jesus has this encounter with the woman at the well. Then she leaves and the disciples show up and they're kind of going, what are you doing, man? Like, what's going on? Thought you were hungry. You're just sitting there talking to a woman, which you shouldn't be talking to because she's a woman and she's Samaritan. So Jesus broke all the rules, the cultural rules of the day. Interesting, right? And then as he says this, right, as Jesus is saying these words, don't you, you know, it's still 4 months, you have this saying, it's 4 months to the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the harvest fields. One commentator says, the Samaritans were leaving the town and coming across the fields towards them. The woman went back to her town and told them about what had happened. And the whole town came out to see Jesus. Wow. The eagerness of these people, the Jews regarded as alien and rejected, the Samaritans, showed that they were ready to come home. Jesus warned his disciples not to think there's still 4 months. Don't wait. If they had eyes to see it, the harvest was ready. Now, I want to ask you, who is in your life right now who's ready to come to know Jesus? Right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but right now, ready to come home. They're waiting to come home. Actually, I'd say they're aching to come home to Jesus. They're just waiting for an Andrew to invite them. They're waiting for a disciple to see them. My community. We could have said our, but we wanted to make it personal. My community. Who are the people that God's put in my life who are alone and disconnected that need to come home? Not only was the woman at the well, but the people of her town were ready to come home to Jesus. My community are the people that I'm in relationship with. Doesn't matter where they are geographically. I can tell stories about Dawn because she's not here. But you know, Dawn always invites people to Long Jetty. The last person she invited to Long Jetty lives in Newcastle. That's weird. Because Dawn just senses this is where she needs to come. It's not geographical, friends. Who are you in relationship with? We work hard on building relationship with our neighbours. Talking the other week about a guy across the road who's hopefully getting into Duralong who you know, wants to come to church, but he's just struggled to push through that barrier to come. Hugs me in the middle of our street. That's his initiative, not mine. Hey, he's lonely. He needs to come home. Nate talks about his soccer friends that he invites to social occasions. Hey, that's his community. Hey, they're his people. They're some of his people that need to come home. Damien talks about his work friends. It's his people. It's his circle. What's your circle of people who need to come home? That's your community. It's my community. My community is whoever God has put me in current contact with. And it's these people we want to invite to come home. And finally, when we say bringing my community home, this is my favorite point, I think. Home represents a close relationship with God and his people. John 14:23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home. Interesting word, isn't it? Home. In the Greek, it means dwelling place. Jesus comes to stay. Wow. That's helpful when you've got abandonment issues. Jesus comes to stay and he's not going anywhere. Everyone else might have left you, but he's not going to. In this verse, I believe Jesus was summarizing the previous verses of 15 to 22, which read this. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. He's talking about the Holy Spirit to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Can't get much closer than that. I will not leave you as orphans. That's relevant, isn't it? Hey? And this is powerful, right? Because Jesus is about to abandon the disciples in the physical. He's about to leave. And at the same time, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Then there must be something tangible about the Holy Spirit if they weren't going to be left orphans. So we can connect with Jesus in the spiritual just like he's right here. And that's actually my experience. And it actually frustrates me when people try, just like Catherine nailed it this morning, we want to suck the life out of other people. Go and suck the life out of the Holy Spirit. He's got plenty to share. Work out how to do that. He's your life source, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids. Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit is your life source. Stop sucking it out of other people. It'll frustrate you, it will wear them out, and it'll destroy relationship. Stop it in Jesus' name. Find what Jesus was talking about when he said, I've sent you another advocate, a counselor, a comforter. And when you find him like I did again on Monday night, you don't need anything else or anyone else. You'll be drawn to others. And there'll be an interconnectedness and an interdependence, but not a codependence. Because you're drawing more from him than you are from each other. And we just get to share. It's like Jesus brings the groceries and we just get to share them all amongst each other. That's the picture. But he must be first. Sorry to get excited, but sometimes, gosh, we need to get some stuff. We need to stop some stuff and start some stuff. Actually, I was watching you two for my devotions last night. And a lot of different ones, especially around the streets have no name. That's actually a spiritual song, you know. Bono doesn't even know what he's writing sometimes. I think he's talking about heaven. I think he realized that as well, where the streets have no name. Because it came out of Dublin where you could judge people by which street they lived in. That was his inspiration for that song. And he's looking, his spirit was looking for a place where there'd be no judgment. Hey? Where love would, burning down love. Hey? You watch that song on YouTube and you'll see the platform's a big heart. Watch the one when they did that song at the Super Bowl the year after 2001. After the Twin Towers fell and the names they respected. You know what Bono said while they had to do all the names? He said, because no family member wants their lost one to be just a statistic. Hey, they have a name. Hey, that's the heart of God right there. You're not a statistic, you have a name. And God knows your name. And God wants you to honor, God wants people to honor you and respect you and know your name. Hey? That's the kind of God we serve. One commentator says, where love and obedience are shown, the presence of God and Christ is realized. The Father and the Son together make the home with each of the children. I love what this guy said, a guy called John Piper. He said, in short, loving Jesus is not a matter of doing excellent things. Praise God, because I'm not sure I do much excellent stuff at all. It's a matter of delighting, I do that, in an excellent Savior. Jesus says, doing excellent things, keeping my word, is a result of delighting in an excellent Savior. I don't come here because I have to. I come here because I want to. Because I delight in an excellent Savior. Hey, this is a love deal, friends. This is a love deal where we get just smashed by the love of God and can't help but love Him. I loved a guy we had at our last church called John. And John was a quadriplegic. We knew him, the bed guy who drove his bed around Fennel Bay, and then one day he showed up at our church. John. The irony was John jumped out of planes most of his life and survived, and then he had a car accident, become a quadriplegic. But John had a deep relationship with Jesus. And he couldn't do much for Jesus, but he knew who he was in Jesus. And sometimes I would use John as an example for some of our workaholic friends in the church. I said, and that's why I say, you would have heard me say this, God loves you before you get out of bed in the morning while you're still dribbling on your pillow. There's a picture you want to hang on to. If God can love that, it's because it's not about our performance. It's too many people go, what can I do? I don't care what you do. I care about who you are. And what you do will come out of who you are. That's how you find what to do. You go, I don't know what to do. Well, you need to find out who you are. Then you'll know what to do. We get the cart before the horse, friends. Our whole world gets the cart before the horse. Jesus doesn't. Okay, first thing he said to Simon, he gives the whole Bible, right? Gideon, mighty man of valor. God gives people a name and an identity and speaks into who they are first, then you know what to do. If you don't know what to do, great. Go and discover who you are through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have no problem knowing what to do. I don't know if that's got anything to do with what I'm talking about. I think I want to say this, though. Just this relational thing, right? I hear people say, I don't feel at home or I don't feel connected. I'm going, well, there's a two-way street, right? I know I shouldn't know the specific numbers, but 20-something years ago, I decided to marry Melissa, right? And Melissa's adventurous, you know that, right? I'm not. I wish I was. I'd like to be, but I'm not. So last year, Melissa wanted to go to Perth. I don't want to go to Perth. I don't even like Perth. I like it less now I've been there. It's not that exciting. Sorry if you're from Perth. Fremantle's pretty good. Go and check out Fremantle. That's had a bit of character. But you know why I went? Because I'm caring about connecting with her. It's not about me. And I think sometimes because we get this picture of God that He's big and He's powerful and He supplies everything, that we can just sit on our butt in our relationship with Him and do nothing. Oh, God, I'm not feeling you. Well, do something to connect with Him. You know, the first thing is get vulnerable. You know, Jesus teaches us to get vulnerable. Confess your sins. There's a good start. Oh, I don't have any sins. Come and have a chat with me. You don't, hey? I don't know. I'm just trying to get across a point I think is really important. Really important, right? Because I've spent 20 years trying to help people connect with Jesus and I've heard all the crap. I've heard it all. Well, I probably haven't. I'll probably hear some more tomorrow. Because it's a two-way street. It's a relationship. God's not going to do all the work. You need to do something. And it actually tells us in the Word what to do. Like, if you read the Bible, God's got pretty vulnerable, don't you think? He even says, just before, like, Noah and the flood, he says, it grieved his heart that he made mankind. Wow. Meditate that on that for a while. God's not hard-hearted. He's not a Nazi in the sky waiting to nuke you. He's a soft father with a soft heart, whose heart's often wounded by the brokenness of our society, which we broke and we blame him for it. Can you just stop blaming God for the mess and see him as a God who loves you and sent his son? His son said, I'll go. Didn't have to make a way for us to connect with him and be loved by him and find home. If I want to do relationship with people, I've got to do something. I can't just expect them to do everything. And I've had people say to me, oh, well, you know, it's a two-way street. They should ring me sometimes. You know what? I love people too much to flop and wait for them to ring me. Hey, I'm not saying, you know, like keep giving to someone that only takes and never gives. Like go and have a boundaries conversation with them. Say, hey, friend, you want to be my friend? Do something. Otherwise, I'll move on. Okay, that's okay. But also, don't think that just because you've rung the last three times and they haven't rung you, well, I'm not sure this is a two-way relationship. Well, get over yourself. Seriously. Grow up. Is that okay? Because I think connection's too important. It's too important. It means too much for me to wait for them to ring me. Connection with God means too much for me to wait until I get a fuzzy feeling. Like Catherine said, you start to do it, then you feel it. That's where the connection happens. That's where the feeling of home happens. On Monday night, sitting in my lounge chair, wounded, I felt at home. That's funny, because I connected with the Holy Spirit. Earlier that day, ringing my mum, I felt at home. Was I home? No, but this connection helped me feel at home. What is it when we walk through these doors? I can guarantee you it's a connection with either other people or the Holy Spirit. It, like Marty said, it's not the building. Coming here during the week when no one's here, it's pretty average. It's a connection with each other and with God. I want to finish with this. I still love to go home where I grew up. I'm blessed that my parents are still alive. They live in the house I grew up in. That's pretty uncommon these days. And the power of that is it represents for me a place of safety and connection that still exists. I love catching up with some of my friends. Two of those people are Tim and Laura Gittins, a relationship where I feel understood. I have lots in common. We're Selva officers. We both have four kids, similar age, and we all love Jesus. It's a close connection. Do you hear the connection? I want you to hear the connection part. I love coming to Long Jetty because when people ask me how I am, I know that they're seeking an honest answer. It's funny when you model things, people use them back on you. Isn't that fun? And some of you might have been victims of mine when I've said, you know, how are you going? And so, oh, good. And I say, are you lying? And then people do it back to me. That's rude, isn't it? It's almost like healthy relationship. Sometimes we need that, don't we? We need that. I'm just as human as you. I need to feel loved. I need to feel welcomed. I need to feel accepted. I know at Long Jetty when people encourage me that it's sincere. They're not just flattering me to get something. Well, when you're in a position of authority, that's what happens. Friends, it doesn't happen here. It's pretty good. I know that when I mess up, which I do, I can apologize and be forgiven and not feel judgment. And most importantly, not fear loss of relationship. Wow, that's big. I love sitting alone with God and knowing and experiencing his love, knowing one day that his peace and his presence won't be interrupted by the brokenness of this life. And when I walk close with him, I'm not only home, but I'll never be alone. Not only do I love being at home with God and my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want others to experience the richness of what I experience, and therefore I'm committed to bringing my community home. How about you? I'm committed to bringing my community home. How about you? So what I want you to do as the band comes up today, I want you to get the care cards. Because I really, really want feedback, okay? And I don't care what feedback you give, because I'm not even sure I've articulated this as well as I need to. This will be an unfolding story, this vision statement, I believe. We're on a journey of revelation, of actually discovering what home means. I think we're on that journey. So I've just started that today. So if you have other thoughts about what you think home is, what your experience of home is, write it on your care cards because we need to read it. And if it's okay with you guys, I'll share it with the leaders of this church because we've got to do this journey. What does it mean? What does my community mean? What does bringing mean? And so there's no way I could have done this justice today. We're just starting. And so please grab your care cards and on the backs, just write some feedback about, yeah, you know what? This statement really resonates with my heart. It resonates. It actually makes me want to be part of this church. Or you might say, you know what? Nah, just didn't hit the mark. That's okay. We'll go back to the drawing board if we need to. But we want to know that, is this why Longevity exists? Do we exist to bring our community home? Is that what we're about? Because if we are, and we all get on the same page with that, we'll impact our community like we've wanted to for years. And we impact it now, but we'll impact it to a greater degree. If you want to come and pray, if you don't feel at home today, come and pray. Let someone pray for you and see if that connection can be found and developed so that you can feel that feeling of being at home, okay, with God and with us. If there's other stuff you need to pray for, come forward. But please fill out your care cards and pop them in the buckets on the way out after the last song, because it's so important that, you know, I'm not worried if this isn't the right vision statement. We'll just find, we'll keep working on it. But if it is, there'll be some connection and resonance with everybody to some degree. So please give us your feedback, hey?